And then for many of us,
we are joined by Katie Kine from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, and I should introduce myself. Thank you.
That's right. And she is going to teach us some, and you'll find out whether it's different than anything anybody else has told you this week. But she's going to talk about clothing management and other things like that. And maybe we'll get into some other things. She's going to do the shortened version because we want all of you to have time to get your lunch if you need to. And so we'll turn it over to you right now, Katie.
Thank you. As Judy said, my name is Katie Kine. I reside in Honolulu, Hawaii. I am a longtime member of the National Federation of the Blind of Hawaii. And I've known Judy for many years. I've been part of the NFB for 23 years, I suppose. Anyway, clothing, home management, laundry, all sorts of wonderful things. And blindness for me, just in my personal story, didn't come to me until I was 36. I didn't have any visual impairment until then. And so color and clothing was really important to me. My career was in clothing design at that point, and then I became blind. And so clothing design was no longer my career. I know that for many people, how we look, how we put ourselves together, and how we manage that is really important. And then some of us, we don't really care. We just put on our shorts or pants and jeans and t-shirt and we go out the door. But for those of us that care, and I really want to stress that as individuals who are blind, that presenting ourselves well in some respects is more important than when we weren't blind, if that was a part of our reality in the past, because we're judged differently for the mere fact that we're blind, and thus we're received differently in the public and with our families and our friends differently just by the mere fact we're blind. I'm not saying you have to dress to the nines and as if you're going to the black tie party every time you go out the door, but there is a perspective of hygiene that really matters. And the first thing I would say is if your hair is well groomed and it's cut well and your hands and feet are nicely cleaned and manicured, that alone, even if I'm wearing my Radius t-shirt and shorts and thong sandals, makes all the difference in the world. People say, wow, Katie, you look so good today. You're all dressed up. And I could be wearing my holy dirty t-shirt, but my hair is clean and groomed. My hands are clean. My feet are clean. And I wear thong sandals all the time in Hawaii. You may not where you are, but hands, feet, hair are really key factors of the personal grooming, and it makes a difference in the way people perceive you. Do I really care how they perceive me? No, but I do want to be an integral part of my community and my world and interactive with other people. So yes, in that respect, I do care. When you take that into your personal home, some really simple things to do in organizing clothes and garments between laundry in the closet and your dresser drawers is basic safety pins. I have a variety of sizes of safety pins. And my husband is blind also, and he uses a lot of safety pins. Sometimes he uses more than I do. And the safety pins, and the other one I use a lot of is lingerie bags. They're just simple Tide brand lingerie bags I can get at Walmart or a drugstore. And I use them in conjunction between the drawers and the laundry because it keeps things semi-sorted. The lingerie bags, for instance, I do all the socks in a lingerie bag. Then I know I put two socks in, two socks are going to come out. Safety, yeah, absolutely. If I don't use the lingerie bag, inevitably two socks go in, one comes out, and I have no idea where it went. Yep. The safety pins, I keep socks paired by safety pins. And I'm not so much a sock person, but I do use socks for sports activities and such. I do use them when I go to cold places, but then they're in boots, so they're not seen. But my husband uses them for work and dress. I don't wear socks at work because we don't need to here, but men do. And so it's really important, whether you're a woman or a man, to pin your socks so you know black is black, brown is brown, white is white, blue is blue. But we try and keep it simple in our house. And the safety pin helps that. You can use the lingerie bags in your dresser drawers as well. I keep dress, socks, pinned together in a lingerie bag in my drawer. And then I know all of those in that bag are my black socks, because typically black is my dress wear when I'm going outside of Hawaii. And I do go outside of Hawaii. I go to Washington, D.C. and some other places a few times a year. Well, not during the pandemic, but I do go. So those are two key things that are pretty inexpensive and pretty simple to keep in your clothing arsenals, is lingerie bags and safety pins. The safety pins also I use in some respects as color identifiers. I have some favorite women's cut t-shirts that I wear regularly. They're simple, they're sleeveless, they're cool, they're a nice cotton. And I have white, I have navy, I have black, I have red, and I have a green. And they all pretty much it's the same style, so I can't really tell the color difference. But I know that on my blue shirts, all have two safety pins. On my black, they all have one. On my white, they have none. And on my green, it's down at the hemline instead of in the back tag. Now, that's a lot of memory to do, and there are tags that have Braille and there are some that have large print on them. And I understand that there are some voice tags where you can actually use them, where you record your own voice, or they're automated, already set up to say blue, green, white, red, pink, purple. If I have floral patterns or stripes, I want to know that the shirt or the pants or the skirt or the dress is basically a blue dress or a green dress or a red dress. And I have three of those. They're all the same dresses. I love them. They're easy wash. They're easy care. I don't have to iron them. They're summer dresses for Hawaii. I can pack them and go. But I have a blue one, a green one, and a red one. And with those dresses, I do a similar safety pin process. My blue one actually has no safety pin. I wore it yesterday to the accountants. My red one has one safety pin, and my green one has two safety pins. Now, again, this requires some memory factors involved. And let's say I forget. What do I do if I forget? And my husband's blind also, so I can't say, hey, Virgil, what color is this today? And he can't say, hey, Katie, what color is this? Because we kind of go, don't know. What's the tag say? What's the safety pin system? Some people I know do organize their closets by color. I'm too lazy. Never did it when I could see. Never did it when I was designing clothes. I just too lazy. But that is a system for some people. I have certain technology on my smartphone. It's not a paid subscription. I know that you covered technology this week. For some, that's a reasonable aspect of being blind. For some, not. I hear the chuckles. But I do use some of those volunteer services when I want to take a look if I forget or the safety pins fall out during washing. I do have a couple of designated neighbors, and we live in an apartment complex. You may have a designated family member that lives near you. We do not. And on occasion, those people come into the house and we call them our spot checkers. They go through our clothing with us to make sure there's no stains, no spots, doesn't look worn. You can kind of feel in the collars and the hems when fabric is worn. And I pay attention to those things and I leave them out if I want someone to definitely take a look at those items. We have a common laundry room in our building. I use my neighbors sometimes if they're there. And I have a number of things set out. And as someone walks in, if they have time, I'll say, hey, by the way, are there any spots on this? And I'll quick go through them before I throw them in the wash. I am not afraid to use neighbors, friends, families, even strangers on occasion to ask about, are there spots, are there stains, are there holes that I think I feel, are things worn out? I think what's really key is going to be, how do you like to dress? How do you like to keep your clothes? I actually streamlined some of my things when I became blind, not because I didn't like the variety anymore, but because I didn't want to have to think about it, and I prefer to spend my time being active and out and about. Not to say that I don't have some really fine garments in my closet. I do. I still, in that respect, as is my husband, we do like some really nice clothing. We do like to get dressed up. We do like to look really put together between our jewelry, our shoes, our stockings, our socks, all the way down the line. I think one of the real important things is that use people around you who are willing to participate in helping you know that your clothes are not stained, don't look worn out, that the color's faded, and that it's still in good shape. Then if you want to organize your closet, one of the tricks I know some of my blind friends do is they have, when they purchase their clothes, they know they have a blouse and a skirt, for instance, or a shirt and a pair of slacks that go well together. And they keep them hung together. Here comes the laundry bags again. I would put them in the same bag together. And I do that. I have a particular colored bras that I know in sundresses for the straps of a more spaghetti strap style dress, that dress and that bra gets washed together. Because then I know that I'm not wearing a white bra with a black sundress. I'm wearing a black bra with a black dress so that they look good together. Here comes the laundry bag or a big safety pin. You pin them together when you wash them. And then they hung up on the hanger again together. Real simple tricks to keep my clothes put together and matching. At this point, Judy, I'm going to stop a moment because I've covered some pretty basic grounds in organization and laundry, but mm-hmm. I'm going to open it up some for interactive questions because I want to hear from everybody and what kinds of issues you may have, what kind of questions you may have, what barriers you're running into as blind people when you're doing all these activities in your home.
Yeah, if you want to go beyond clothing, you can try and stump her.
Oh yeah, go for it, because I have some experience.
Okay, this is Stuart Prost. I'm going to ask Sharon to unmute because she has been waiting a while there. I don't know if the question's related or not. We'll find out. Go ahead, Sharon.
That's all right. You wanted to say something before Katie started, so go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead and unmute. I've got the student on mute.
Try the telephone.
All day, I think.
All day.
Yeah, she had unmuted before, so I don't know. I'm going to go to Donna Ard then, and we can go back to Sharon. Go ahead, Donna.
Yes, I'll be real brief. I was on before, Katie, you joined us. And if it's possible, I just want to talk about something quickly that's sort of related, but it's a resource that I wanted to share with our group today because I didn't know another time that we could do it. There is a publication that is produced by blind people in Columbus, Ohio, called Newsreel. Newsreel is done on cartridge or on cassette or CD or downloaded. It's not only a magazine, it's a community. It's a community of all kinds of blind people from both NFB, ACB, and no organization. And they talk about everything from things like we talked about, you know, we're talking about clothing. We talked about clothing. We talk about technology. What is work for people? The latest thing is what kind of an e-reader is good since Braille Note is no longer being supported. That's another topic. Then there are fun topics like talking about our grandparents. And I raised one talking about blind dates, which didn't mean it, they were blind. Anyway, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to get to know other people and to send in your own articles and get answers. And I just wanted to say the first 3 months is free and I can give a phone number. I don't know if there's a way that we're going to keep track of these resources, but
there are. So rather people won't remember it if you right. give it, well, if you will email it to me,
I will.
Then I'm going to collect all these resources and we're okay. going to add that to our thumb drive that we're making.
Great. Okay. I've been on Newsreel since 1979 and I have met and made wonderful friends and I really commend it okay. to you. I'll send the report. Sure.
Yeah, that'll be good. Do we have, was someone, oh, Sharon, did you get, thank you, Dana. Did you, Sharon, did
I think
you get
Sharon has lowered her hand. Okay, I've got, okay, Patricia Jenkins, I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Hi, I was wondering if you have any tips on ironing your clothes.
Oh, there you go. Katie, ironing. Are you into ironing?
I am, actually.
Okay.
I do have some tips. And even though I have a microphone that cancels sound, you may be hearing our dumpster leaving the property right now for the morning.
No, we can't.
Oh, good. It's pretty noisy in my ears. Ironing.
Well, okay, let's start out, first of all, you set up the ironing, you want to make sure you know where the iron is and you've right. put it there and so you know it's going to get hot when you plug it in.
I actually have an ironing board and an iron. I don't use them very often, but I do use them. I have had both ironing boards with the iron holder, the metal one off the end, and those that do not have that are just the covered board the whole way down. I've even had tabletop ironing boards. I very clearly make sure once I set up where I'm going to do my ironing, I set up whatever kind of board I'm using, that I do identify where my iron will be when I put it down, that it's on a surface that the heat will not destroy, and that I place myself in a position that the cord to the wall plug is not something that I'm going to interact with very much. I make sure it's not between my legs, not wrapped around my arm. And I'm not being silly about that. I'm actually being very serious about it because I have seen situations myself where I wasn't paying attention and I set it up in a manner that every time I moved, it knocked the iron off because my leg caught on the cord. So I'm being pretty specific about your setup with an iron in where you place it, whether you're right or left-handed and whatever kind of board you want to use. Then once I have that all set up, and I make sure that the irons I purchase have dials on them. I ask either the salesperson or a friend once I get it out of the box, which direction the dial or the lever, which is off, which is high, which is low. I'm not as concerned as I used to be as whether it's cotton or silk or not, because if I know that I'm going to be ironing, say a satin or a silk fiber, even if it's synthetic. I don't want a high heat and I want to protect it. Thus, I tend to turn the clothing inside out. So I'm ironing them inside out instead of right side out. I use a fine muslin cloth to protect it between the iron and the garment and the fabric. And I use a lower temperature. I do a lot of touching of the fabric because you can feel the wrinkles and when it smooths out as you iron. But they're quick touches if it's hot. I don't touch the iron. I might touch it briefly just to make sure it's warmed up, but you can usually feel the heat of an iron without touching the surface before you do it. Shirts in particular, armholes, collars, button lapels, things like that. I start in small areas. I don't try and do as much the large areas in the way I might have done in the past. I start small and I do a lot of inside out ironing, especially things like button flaps. I get a better coverage of the button lapels if I do it inside out. So the buttons are facing down and I can do long strokes along the whole lapel. And then I can flip it over and feel if there's still wrinkles around the button. And then I carefully go in and around the buttons or the lapel if the edge is flipped up. I use my hands a lot to touch and smooth things. I actually do a lot more on the cotton fibers than the silkier synthetics or natural fibers. I don't really have silk anymore. I have other fine fibers, but the muslin cloth is very, I think, important on the finer fabrics. On cotton, you can do straight onto the surface. If you're an ironer, you might know this already, and it's more the techniques you're looking for in your question. But I start small, I work small, and it does take me a little more time to iron than it used to. From what I understand and everything I experience and the people I trust that I ask when I first started learning how to iron, they say I do an excellent job, but I do start small and I do a lot of reverse fabric ironing because then I can get, like I said, especially buttons and zippers and things like that. And was that Sharon that asked the question?
That was Patricia, I believe.
Excuse me. Sorry, Patricia.
Okay, the next question is from Donna.
Yes, you answered my question. Thank you. Okay,
you're welcome.
The next question is from Donna, and I've asked you to unmute. Go ahead. It shows you're unmuted. I don't know what's going on here.
While we're waiting, I'll say one key thing, and I believe it was Donna, but one point I think is really important, and you've probably heard this all week long, is each of us as blind individuals have our own experiences and techniques. And I think it's really key that we stay in touch with each other and learn from each other. My experience might work for you, might not. I've learned things from Judy in the past. I've learned things from other blind people, and I would probably learn something from each and every one of you if we had that much time to talk. I'm really open to techniques other blind people use, because we have so much to share with each other.
I think this is a different Donna than who you're expecting.
No, the woman that talked about newsreel, I think that was who I meant. But go ahead, Donna. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Another thing you can do if you don't need a fresh seam on something is just put a damp washcloth in the dryer for 5 minutes with your wrinkled item in it. It may come out pretty good.
You're right. Thank you. I use that sometimes, it helps. And that would be another thing just with my fingers. I might You can spray things with a little bit of water. I use the steamer on the iron sometimes, but I prefer to put the water direct on the fabric if that fiber can handle water directly. But thank you, Donna. That's a great technique. See? There you go. Learning from each other.
All right. Next is Alice, and I've asked you to unmute, and you're going to be star six on the phone. And then after that is Sharon.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. Hi. I'm sorry. I didn't. What's your first name? It doesn't matter. Anyway,
it's hello. Katie.
Hey, Katie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciated what you said about the importance of how we present ourselves when we go out into the world. That was something that was stressed to me early on when I became blind. But the question that I have for you is, I'm a big slob, okay? And that a big slob, I'm like you in that I like to look nice and I like my colors to match and so forth and so on. And I do a good job that my shoes have to be cleaned. I make sure no mud or dirt is on them. But when I say I'm a slob, what I'm referring to is when I'm eating. So mm-hmm. when I'm out and even when I'm at home, I make such a big mess. And being an adult, what do you do to avoid getting food spills on your clothing and dropping food on the floor, which I'm often guilty of doing and not aware of?
This is Shelley.
How do you combat that?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question.
This is Shelley.
Hey, Shelley.
Hi. I was going to suggest, now I have actually seen people wear kind of a bib-like thing, even out in public or whatever. You know, if they feel like they just are kind of messy, you could probably find them that are, I mean, it's a cloth, I guess. It's that shape that kind of fits around your neck and everything, but it could be colorful. It could be a print that's kind of fun or something like that. It doesn't have to look childish or whatever, but I've actually seen people take those to restaurants and stuff just to keep down that spillage stuff all over your clothes if you feel like you can do that.
Okay, where would I purchase something like that?
You can find those in a variety of places. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I think you could even, I do a lot of things online, but I've actually seen fun things like that in not pharmacies, but I don't know where you reside. We have Long's or CVS drugstores here as in Walgreens. I've seen them in stores like that. Walmart's, we don't have Kmart anymore, Sears. You know, there's other things, and I was going to say, well, you could get a big fun apron that goes with you everywhere for your lap in the front, like a
bib.
You could. Things fall on the floor all the time. I don't worry about that so much, except for in my own home. If I'm in a restaurant, I don't worry so much about that.
Okay.
But I would
this
say
Donna
just
again.
I would
you
say
could,
in
you
general.
You could try a scarf.
Yeah, I was going to say a scarf. I actually have.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there's a commonly accepted large scarf array of things out there in the world, and you can wear them as shawls, you can wear them as quote bibs, and and make sure they're washable. So you could, there's some nice really fine lightweight cotton ones or synthetic fiber. They're more shawl like scarves. And I've used those before, okay. But I keep them artistically draped over my shoulder and down to my lap. I do actually, because I'm a messy person. I enjoy my food, and if I really had my way, I'd eat all my food with my hands, not a fork and knife and spoon.
Yeah.
But that's not the real world. So.
Right, correct.
I tend to be more cautious, thus I'm slower but I do. But I've always been a slower eater in that respect. But I tend to be more cautious. I don't stoop over my food, but I tend to lean forward a little more than I used to ensure that the food's going to my mouth, not my lap. And
okay.
That's just a real basic habit change. I use a knife more than I might have in the past with my fork to make sure the food is secure on my fork or my spoon. You know, I used to eat with chopsticks a lot. It's a little harder because I don't have the eye-hand coordination, but I still use them because there's a lot of Asian food in Hawaii. And before I was here 30 years ago, I was in San Francisco, so there was a lot of good Asian food there too.
Let's see what Sharon.
I've used a spoon before with my fork when there's no knife. But I am in restaurants. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to ask for an additional utensil or extra napkins just because I can be a mess, and I'm conscious of that myself, just like you. But don't worry about the floor.
Well, thank you.
Don't worry about the floor.
Don't worry about the floor. Okay.
Right. I mean, in your own home, fine, but not when you're out and about. Don't worry about it. You're not the only one, I promise.
Okay. I'll just leave a decent tip. If I think I made a big mess, that's what I do.
Only if they serve you well.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope that helps.
Okay.
Sharon,
next,
yes, you did.
Sharon,
yes,
you're. I've asked you to unmute. Let's see if you can do that.
And this is Sandy, and I am unmuted, I think.
Yes, you are. Hi, Sandy.
Hey,
you are. But is Sharon's been trying.
Yeah, Sharon's been trying.
A long time.
And then I have, in terms of hands raised, Vincent, Judy Nelson, and Dolores Wright.
Okay, they have all had turns. Sandy hasn't, so.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, Sharon.
Sharon, are you there? It's Katie.
I've asked her to unmute. I mean, she may be having a technical problem.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay. I want to hear about jewelry. I have lots of it, and I don't know how to match it, and therefore I don't wear it because I don't want people thinking, why did she put that with that?
Are you talking about earrings, bracelets, rings, necklaces?
Necklaces. Mostly necklaces.
So matching a necklace to an outfit?
Yes.
I love jewelry, and I have a lot of it. And
can you hear me?
Yeah, but
is that
hang
Sharon?
On,
Sharon.
That's Sharon. Sharon. Yeah, we can.
Sharon. Yes. Let's let Katie answer the current question, and then you're next.
Okay, I hope it won't unmute or mute. Go ahead.
No. Just stay there.
Just stay unmuted.
Don't touch anything.
Stay unmuted. Okay. Go ahead, Katie. Katie?
I'm here. I'm
thinking
about this. I'm going back to necklaces and garments. I apologize.
Yes.
So, and I'm sorry, what was your name? Sandy. Got it. Okay. I'm back on track. I actually, especially with specific jewelry that is, I want color coordinated with outfits, I tend to keep those necklaces on the hanger with the outfits. If that necklace goes with more than one outfit, then I'm not as concerned. But if you're talking about colorful things, well, I have a necklace that's got some yellows and turquoises and browns, and I think the metal is more silver, although it might be mixed metal. I don't necessarily want to wear that with a red dress, although I wouldn't be offended by it because I like color. But I might know that that crosses over navy blue, black, white, neutral tones. And so I'm not as worried about it. But if I want it to go specifically with a floral garment that I know that it works with, or someone helps me match it, then I would hang it on the hanger with that blouse, dress, whatever your outfit is. I organize it that way. Most of my jewelry can cross over lots of different garments, and I love jewelry also. Earrings, sometimes I take a stab and I know that it's going to go well, because I know they're more natural. I have a lot of things with blues in it because I'm a blue person. I have used trays to organize things before. So if you take a silverware tray and you know that you're keeping, how do you organize, by the way, Sandy, right now? How do you store your jewelry?
You don't want to know.
Okay, okay.
Okay. I have things everywhere.
Okay.
The jewelry is the least organized thing in my house.
Okay. Well, and that's okay. We can work with that because I tend to be pretty lazy about organization, but I do have systems so that I know where things are. And I think that's key. If you're at a place in your blindness where you don't know the difference in the color matching anymore, get a trusted person in there with you and have fun. Make an afternoon of it. Have tea or coffee. Make an afternoon with it. Play with your jewelry. Play with your clothes. I've done that before. I do it every now and then to keep up to date on things so that I know then that things are going to align. I hang them on the hanger, like I said. I keep them in a drawer where I happen to know that the things that go with blue garments are in a box over here in my underwear drawer, and the red ones are over here in my bra drawer, things like that. And that's another part of my dresser. I tend to keep my garments, my undergarments anyway, or my t-shirts in different areas of drawers so I know that they're color-coded that way. Some real basic, simple things. Taking it from the laundry there becomes a whole different category we talked about. But as far as your necklaces, what are you running into right now that you're struggling in matching?
You have 2 minutes to answer the question.
I'll do it quickly. Mostly with, if I'm going to be out and I'm dressed well, I don't want the necklace to detract from that. But I've got an idea for sorting and organizing. I like the hanging. I like the silverware tray idea, and I can make that work. And I know how to find you when I get stuck, Katie.
There you go. There you go, Sandy.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Sharon.
Yes. Hey, that burner that you were talking about is the Induction Cook New Wave, NUAVE.
Thank you. That's what
I use one a lot, and I found a wok that I fry my hamburgers in because of the top of the wok does not get hot, only the bottom.
Oh.
And I'm not sure that this was meant to be used on an induction cooker because one time it got really weird, but anyway, but most of the time it works. And that is correct. You can put an ice cube right next to your pan and it will not melt in seconds because and they're very easy to set. And I do have a regular electric burner as well as a regular, I cooked on a flat top stove, and I know of a family whose house burned down because they set groceries on top of a cook's top stove. So,
and none of them were blind, were they?
No, they were not. No, they were not. Mm-hmm. And yeah. The other thing is an iron. Yeah.
We're going to run out of time shortly. Thank you for the New Wave. That's what I couldn't think of. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Katie, if you have any last thoughts.
I do. I just thought of this. Another one of my organizational tips, Judy, is Ziploc bags. And those often I use when I travel, although I use them in my home as well, because they help me color identify or keep things organized in matching. Shoes would be another key. I use clothespins if I have 3 pairs of the same shoe, brown, black, or purple. I use clothespins to keep the pairs together in my closet so that I know that I'm putting on brown shoes, not brown and purple shoes for the day. But clothespins and Ziplocs, just basic household ordinary things will really help you. There's not necessarily anything fancy. It's how your brain works to keep things in a place that you know where they are and that they're matching or that they're supposed to be the way you want them, not the way the rest of the world necessarily wants them. I have been known to wear a purple and a brown shoe, and someone thought I was making a fashion statement. I said, of course I am, because it matched the dress I was wearing that day.
Okay. You've given us a lot of ideas. I just want to tell you the one organizing tip that has been mentioned several times this week, and you didn't mention it, are rubber bands.
Well, I'll tell you why, Judy. In Hawaii, rubber bands turn into gum because of the humidity and the salt.
Oh, dear. Okay.
So I don't use them because you don't want that. It doesn't come out that gummy.
That's true. Some people, though, are now going to start using them on frozen food packages.
Yes.
One rubber band is beef, two is chicken, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent tool. Mm-hmm. I tried them. I don't use them. They turn to gum in Hawaii.
Okay. Well, you know, don't do it in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So a recommendation that we had. Thank you.
It's a great recommendation. I just forgot about them because I don't use them.
I am glad you made it here.
Me too. Thank you
so much for the time you've spent with us. And we should end this recording.